Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Today, my friends, I'm going to take you on a little journey. The last couple of days, I just sort of took off from society, took off from the world, and just had me time. And I do this every once in a while. I don't know how. It's not like once a year. It's not like there's a specific date. It's not on the calendar. It's just that feeling I get. Somewhere along the line, I get the feeling that I'm not living the life that I was predisposed to live, or that I could live, or that I should live. One of those feelings. It's something in there. But it's just that I get the feeling something's not right. And so when that happens, what I do is I go back to my roots, and my roots are from self-help. I didn't have a really smart, slick father or family to copy. Nobody in my family was successful except myself. And, you know, you could argue what level of success is success. If you ask my family members, they'll tell you they're all successful in their own right, but they're not even close financially successful. Physical fitness-wise, none of them won anything of highest consequence. Like, I've won many different contests physically, bodybuilding, powerlifting, and so forth, Olympic lifting. So they were not someone I could look to for inspiration. They say if you want to be successful, what you need to do is surround yourself with successful people. And whatever level of successful people you surround yourself with, you will probably aspire to that level. This irritates people many times when this is stated, because it's stated incorrectly. It's almost like they're saying, get rid of your poor and useless friends and family and go find successful people to hang out with. That just comes off wrong. That's not what I'm saying here. What I'm saying here is, although those people are in your life and they're a part of your life, you need to aspire to spend time with people that are not thinking at the same level of thinking you're thinking at. Because if whatever level that you think at is the level you will accomplish too. Now, I just spent two full days watching motivational and inspirational videos. A lot of it was the same stuff regurgitated. And so I started trying to figure out, okay, let me just go around and listen to entrepreneurial people that are not a part of the normal entrepreneurial, what would you call it? Tour, you know, people that just go around, go from one seminar to another seminar, and they're selling success. Now, I sell success, so it's not that I dislike or am disgruntled about these people. It's just that they have no more to teach. Where you really learn something is digging into the entrepreneurs that are not on the circuit, that spend their time being entrepreneurs and spend their time having a life. And most of these self-help online gurus don't have a life. They really don't. They just work all the time. And everything's about the hustle. Now, I've done videos, I've done radio about the hustle before and how I think the hustle's really something I never could aspire to be. I never wanted to be one of these hustlers, as they call themselves. There's one guy on the internet that says, you got my money. You got my money. Give me my money. I want my money back. Give me my money. You got my money. Everything's about him and himself and how rich he is. And he brags about how wealthy he is and everything. And okay. So, Del, do I sense a little jealousy there? And the answer is, yeah, to some degree, because here's what I saw as I've spent these 2 days on the internet and listen to all these entrepreneurs and all these successful people. And it came down to me eventually saying, you know what, I need to reevaluate my values. And for those of you that know me, you know I have very succinct values, very, very specific when it comes to making money financially. And I went back and reevaluated those values. And my three values, if you don't know them, is rule number one, never lose money. Rule number two, there's got to be cash flow or you can't retire. And rule number three, you can't get rich slow. In other words, there has to be major capital gains in your life to get rich. You don't get rich, you know, with one rent house paying you $500 a month. That's not going to get you there. Your savings account, your 401k, they're not going to get you there. 401k isn't going to get you, 201k isn't going to get you there. None of that stuff's going to get you there. To get rich, you have to make massive chunks of money at a time, large chunks, over $1 million at a time, preferably over $10 million at a time. But to get to that point, you have to learn how to put zeros in back of numbers and leverage yourself to be able to make that kind of money. So there's this journey that I went through psychologically where I went from rule one, don't lose money, which comes out of the lack mentality. The lack mentality is the fear of loss because I have so little, I don't want to lose what I do have. And that was my rule number one. Looking back at it now, that was probably the beginning of my failure to be a billionaire. Why is that? Because I was never willing to take the risk. As I watched all these entrepreneurs out there, the one thing in common on all of them is they all said you had to take risks, that they had gone broke many times before, and they were willing to take more risk. Now, my dad had never made over $100,000 a year. My dream was to make $100,000 a year. When I started buying rental houses and I had over $100,000 a year of rental income coming in, which was passive and tax-free, which made it worth way more than $100,000 of earned income, I was satiated. And that's all I thought I'd ever need. And it really was all I'd ever would have needed. So I was done. That's it. Pulled the plug. Entrepreneurial spirit died. Then I started going back into protection mode. Never lose money. That was the goal. Now, what happened was, over a period of time, I started teaching people how to do real estate like I was so they could become retired by passive income. And other people that had way higher goals, more aggressive goals, I'm trying to think of a way to say it, came along and used the very same tools that I taught them to go make a lot more money quicker than I did. And I finally found out that at some point along the line, I needed to sell some of my stuff. And when I started selling my stuff, I started making more money selling it than I was on the cash flow. And not in just increments of, you know, 1 or 10, increments of 100 or 1,000 times more. So in other words, I had made $100,000 a year for 5 years. That's $500,000. But I went and sold one property, made $1 million in one deal. Now, you can't do that by just going in, buying a deal and flipping it. It doesn't work that way. But the point was, I had to learn about appreciation. I had to learn about capital gains. I had to learn about this other part of business, which is the exit strategy of business. And I had never thought about the exit strategy of business. My thought was always about how to get in. It's never about how to get out. And it's interesting because I left millions and millions and millions of dollars on the table. I just didn't work at making money on the backside of a transaction. I made money going in. I made money while I held it. On the backside, I was just liquidating because I wanted to go do something else. It was never like it was a well-thought-out process. That is another mistake I made in many of the things I've done. And so, when we look at this rule number one, never lose money, none of the people on any of these videos I watched for 2 days said rule number one, never lose money. Every one of them had said they had lost money and or had been broke at one time. And that was part of the risk equation, risk-reward equation that they lived by. And the ones that were really, 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 really rich, the secret was that they just kept throwing the whole ball back into the fire. In other words, they'd hit a level and they'd throw it back in and start over again. Now, I didn't do that. What I did was, and I was proud of myself doing this, but now that I look back and look at other people's successes that are way larger than mine, by the way, way quicker than mine to get to my level, what happened was they'd make $1 to $5 million and they'd turn right around, throw it all right back in again. And what I did was when I made $1 to $5 million, I took $1 million or $2 million out of that and threw it back in again. And kept some for safety. And I kept building up my safety blanket, so my safety blanket was larger and larger and larger. but my entrepreneurial growth was consistent. So I thought consistent growth was good enough for my personality because I just didn't have that goal set. So I remember making my first $1 million. I remember making my first $10 million. I remember making $50 million. I remember making my $100 million. I remember sitting at Christmas one time with my daughter, and we were just sitting there doing it, going through showing her what she might have to take care of someday if I die and where all my money was at. And we sat down, we did a calculation. I was over $100 million. And I go, you know, I'm not telling you this to impress you guys. I'm just saying it just woke us, my daughter and I, were like, wow, holy. We didn't even think, I didn't care. I mean, I was just, how much cash flow I had, am I living life fine? Is everything good? The point is that if I would have figured that out, if I was would have been willing to roll $100 million back into the ball, the next step is to make $500 million off of that. Or if you can only make 200% return, make $200 million off of that. And then if you take that $300 million and you put it in again, now you're at a billion, right? It's that kind of risk that would have got me to that level. I didn't have the desire to get to that level. That was my weakness. If I just would have asked for more of life, life would have given it to me. Now, might I have made some mistakes if I took greater amounts of risk? Yeah, it's a possibility. But might I have made 10 times, 20 times the amount of money? Absolutely. Because in the risk-reward ratio, what I found is that the downside is only the size of what you put into the deal. The upside is 10 or 20 times more than what that is. So you can lose $100 or you can make $1,000. You can lose $100,000, but you might make $1 million. And so the risk-reward factors are so great that even if you lose $100,000 here and there, you'd be okay. Now, I haven't, which is really sad. I've never lost money in a real estate deal, which means I've never really been aggressive. I've never really gone out there and beat the pots and pans to death to make something happen. I've just sort of like And I just didn't have high enough aspirations. Now you say, well, Del, you're very successful. To my level of thinking, I am. But when I went back and studied all these other people, there's kids 20 years old that have as much money as I do. Or not 20, but 25 or 30. By 30, a lot of people. There's people out there making so much money, it blow your mind. But they just had different and better mentors than I did. I didn't have enough emotional desire. Tony Robbins says it all. When the why is large enough, the how is easy. I just didn't have enough why. You know, that's it. I just didn't have enough why. So now in my life, I have to sit down and just think about this. And I'm going to talk about age here in a minute. And I don't want it to freak you out because I was retired by 34 years of age. A lot of these people I'm looking at on the internet are between 30s and 40s. They're millionaires, multimillionaires. When we come back, I want to talk about a gentleman that called me the other day and discuss his situation, because then we're going to get into my situation and being older and what your desires might be. Then we'll go back and talk about the young people. We'll take a short break. Be right back with the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Teaching you with a roadmap to creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Walmsley Radio Show returns in moments.
At Lifestyles Unlimited, we teach you the roadmap to retiring in 5 years or less through real estate investing. And you experience the reward of best product, best price, best people, and the difference it makes in your life and the life of others.
Whenever you have, you know, residents coming in and thanking you for, you know, taking what was dull and drab and turning it around and making their lives better, you know, that's, it's definitely a blessing.
Become a life changer today. Join Lifestyles Unlimited today with this introductory offer. 2 years for $297. The Lifestyles Unlimited Financial Freedom Program. Go to GiveMeTotalFreedom.com. GiveMeTotalFreedom.com. Enter code 2024. Join and learn with Lifestyles Unlimited at GiveMeTotalFreedom.com. Code 2024.
You're hearing the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. Today we're discussing my life's goals and how I missed the target and how you might rethink some of your goals in the future so that you don't end up where I am. At almost 70 years of age going, you know what, I could have had about 10 times what I have right now. And it doesn't matter how much I have, it doesn't matter how much you have. It's a matter of, have you lived your life to the highest quality and expectations that you could? Do you have the best relationship with your spouse? Do you have the best relationship with your children? Do you have the best relationship with money? You know, are you living it at the peak? And after spending 2 days doing a rerun of my life, which is something I do every once in a while, because I get to the point where everything I ever wanted I accomplished, and then it all just blurs. The bottom line is, it's just like the whole world goes black on me. Like, what am I getting up for every day? I don't get up and go to work, but what do I get up for every day? And if you don't have something to live for, then you start to ponder, right? The bottom line is, you have to be able to understand that if you don't have these goals, you're never going to get anywhere. So let's talk about what they did say. Nobody had the never lose money goal. That wasn't something anybody ever had. But what they did all agree on was that you shouldn't waste money. There was one good story about how Steve Jobs tells a story that you can own a Rolex or own a Timex. Both of them will tell you time. You could ride around a Rolls Royce or you could ride around in a cheap car, and they'll both get you where you want to go. The point was, and you could take both sides of this point, the point is that those things don't really change the quality of what you have in life that much. But if instead you were to take the money and use it to invest, very quickly you could turn around and have those things without it hurting your ability to earn money. And one gentleman talked about the fact that there should be a river of money instead of a pile of money. We talk about this all the time. Retirement is not a pile of money. It's not an age. Retirement is when you can replace your earned income with passive income. Almost all the entrepreneurs that I studied in the last 2 days, almost all of them had passive streams of income. Now, after that, you had to look a little deeper to understand. It appears that from my perspective, all of them they talked to, although they built up passive streams of income, they still had a hustle. Now, some of them had a hustle on the side, like I have Lifestyles Unlimited, so it gives me something to do with my whole life since 34, which is to teach people stuff. And it gives me something to do, a hustle for me to do. And then I have my real estate on the other side. There was entrepreneurs like that, that they had divvied up. There's other entrepreneurs where their hustle was their passive streams of income. And so they're working constantly, building those passive streams of income. You're really working in that business. Well, I'm really working in this business right here. I'm doing radio shows, right? So when I was doing seminars, I was working in the business and not on the business, right? Now, I don't do the seminars very often, but I still do some radio shows. What I'm trying to get to is that many, many people have two different things going on at the same time. One of them is a hustle. It's an all-cash hustle. One of them is the passive streams of income. But some people merge the two, and that's what our lead investors do. They take being the lead investor, which is a job, really, and turn it into buying passive streams of income for themselves and other people. And that's what our lead investors do. They are both in the hustle and in the passive stream at the same time. Interesting point of view. And it works. And it works really well because it gives you that opportunity many times to walk away from a job, because you can't just walk away from a job in many times. You have to be able to produce some income to do that. I thought that was interesting because when I did it, I've always split it. I always had my hustle, side hustle, whatever that may be, and my passive streams of income. I had a job and I had passive streams of income. So that's an interesting one. The other one that was quite interesting is that most of them said they spent very little time on the minutia, but all their time on the big picture, which I totally agree. And I thought this was rather interesting because every single one of them said the same thing, and I've never heard the saying until I went looking in the last 2 days, but I heard it multiple times. All of them said, I was able to make $1 million by myself, but I couldn't make tens, 20s, 50s, 100 million until I picked up employees. In other words, you have to leverage yourself. There's only so many hours a day that you can do stuff or something that will produce results for you. And all of the people that, not all the people, most of the people that I studied this last 2 days said that they didn't start making big money until they had a company where there were people working for them. Now, the question becomes this. If you own a company where people work for you, and you're not the guy getting up grinding the rock every day, are you an entrepreneur? Are you really not working? Or are you working? Are you on the grind? I think it's different with everybody. As I look through these different situations, I think it's different with everybody. They all had different ways of approaching this. But the one is that you have to see the big picture. You have to stay looking at what's the most important and not getting into minutia and so forth. The other one that all of them said, and it's interesting, they all said the same thing. Don't quit. A lot of people said, you know, one guy said, and actually a couple guys said this, that, you know, stick with what you know how to do. Most people try something, it doesn't work out for them, they quit and they go away from it. That's an interesting concept because I learned how to do real estate at 30 and I've stuck with it the whole time. And maybe that's why I'm so successful at it. These guys all said, stick with whatever you can do, what you're good at, what you make money at, and don't move around. And the other one was don't quit. You know, there's that concept that if you don't quit, you will become successful at some point. Because there's very common traits between people that are successful and people that are not successful. And what I was looking at it for was to figure out how successful should I be thinking about being. And it all started because a guy called me the other day. And he wanted me to help him get him out of real estate. Or at least out of the apartment business because he was now 80 years old. And he said, if I can just find a way to have passive income without being in control of the real estate anymore, I don't need to live that much. I'm going to live a little bit longer. And it was kind of an interesting conversation because I've known the guy because he said, Del, I came to you. And when I came to you, I was worth, I think, $400,000 is total net worth. And now he's worth in excess of $4.5 million. He said, you know, you got me this four and a half. What do I do with it now? Where do I go? How do I retire? And I said, well, can you live on, you know, X percent? And I take 10% of 400,000, 450 or 4.5 million, which would be 450,000 a year. Could you live on that? He goes, of course I could. I go, then you got no problem. I'm going to go put you into something that's going to earn you 10% return and or some derivative thereof close to. And you're just going to live the rest of your life doing whatever you want to do because that's what I've transitioned most of my investments to is the stuff that's, you know, I don't do anything. We still own a couple apartment complexes, but it's very little work because my wife does it. But the bottom line is that I was sort of rethinking this stuff and looking at it and go, okay, this guy came to me when he was, 89, when he was 70. And I get people all the time that are 60 and 70 years old coming into me saying, what do I do? I didn't do what you had explained I should have done. So now here I am. I'm 50, 60, 70 years old. What do I do? And in the past, when I was 30, 40, 50, I quite honestly thought to myself, well, just too bad. It's too late. Thinking that old people can't do it. But I found out that old people can't do it. And I've seen people come in now in their mid-60s, 70 years of age, and go and make millions of dollars in their later years and have a retirement like this gentleman now has, which he couldn't have had because he would not have been able to retire if he would have kept doing what he was doing. Wouldn't have been enough, right? So now I rethink that a little bit. I'm thinking to myself, what do I do? You know, should I rejuice myself? You know, should I juice myself back up and say, hey, you know, why don't you go do, you know, 10 times more? Why don't you get back involved again, right? And that's just something that I wanted you to hear and think about here, that there's really no age to this stuff. Now, there is one more thing that I found. Watching all these things, what I found, almost every single one of these people had this one trait, and the trait is discipline. They don't break promises to themselves, is how one person stated it, but it's discipline. It's the ability to get up every day and go, I'm going to do these five things today, or these one thing today, or these 10 things today, or two things today. But at least whatever it is, you put one foot in front of the other and you get stuff done. And they stick to it and they stay on path. Now, I found that there's two types of discipline, and maybe you could have both. That would be probably even stronger. One of them is a lot of these people are religious. There's this religious discipline. You know, they say, I get away from God, and then I lose my way, and I forget that it's not about me. It's about whatever I produce, the world benefits from it. That's a very interesting point. Because if you go into this world thinking that you're going to just get me, and I taken care of, you're not going to produce as much as you're going to produce if you think, I need to take care of a couple generations of people here. I need to leave behind, right? So that's one form. The second one is physical fitness discipline. And one of the guys, in fact, all of the guys, every one of them they interviewed that was rich at a young age was in great shape. I think that the parallel is the discipline from working out, the willing to create pain on your body today to have the pleasure of being healthier tomorrow is a skill set that once learned, it works in everything you do in life. I also believe that if you're in shape, you have more energy. This guy pointed out, one of the guys, actually they all had the same statement, is that when you walk in the room and you're impressive, if you're healthy, you don't have to be a bodybuilder, but if you're healthy, you're lean, you're strong, you got nice clothes on, people treat you differently. They react to you differently if you're in great shape and you look good. And so the bottom line is that fitness is another religion almost. It's, you know, without being sacrilegious in any way, whatever your religious beliefs are, don't take it wrong. I'm saying, okay, if your religion works that way, fitness is almost another thing. But being healthy is something that all people should think about. Because if you can't bring it to the table, if you're not healthy, if you don't bring it, you won't have it. And so I'm going to make a commitment right now. I'm going to go back to working out again. Yeah, I work out now, but I'm going to put a little bit more into it. I'm going to think it through and see what do I really want to do to make it worthwhile, because I really want to make my life more worthwhile. Because after 2 days of motivation, I come away motivated. And I usually don't like motivation, but I sure do like stimulation. And these guys stimulated the heck out of me. So my friends, remember this. It's not just the money. It's the quality of that lifestyle. Have a wonderful day. See you tomorrow.
Listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more of Del's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Walmsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.